The development of all-new electric cars is firmly at the front and center of every major manufacturer's future plans, with most makers teeing up electric product offensives in the next decade. It's firmly seen as the future, but the electric car is not an innovation of modern times. On the contrary, electric vehicles have been quietly humming in the background for generations. A quick glance at the history books reveals that the production of electric cars has been going on around just as long as their internal combustion engine counterparts, dating back to the late 19th century. Electric vehicles were popular back then for the same reasons they are today. They did not have the vibration, the smell, the noise, and the pollution associated with gasoline engine cars. In the United States, at the beginning of the 20th century, of all registered American automobiles, 33,842, or 38%, were powered by electricity. Looking at today's numbers, global sales of electric vehicles in 2020 increased by 39% year-on-year to 3.1 million units. Analysts forecast the number of EVs sold will rise to 30 million in 2028, and EVs will represent nearly half of all passenger cars sold globally by 2030. But how will the automakers keep up and reach these pretty lofty goals? So to talk with us today about how vehicle electrification has evolved in recent years, we have Nan Kochhar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries for Siemens Digital Industry Software. With more than 30 years of experience in the automotive market, Nan's going to be a great expert for us to hear from. So let's begin with a brief overview of what's going on in the EV market right now. And first of all, Nan, welcome. Thank you for joining us once again and hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Connor. Thank you. Great to join you.
Yeah, so the EV market is rapidly growing. What do you think are the driving factors behind this growth?
Yeah, when you look at there are several driving factors, let's look holistically to begin with. As the world population continues to grow, and that drives trends, which are the consumer trends, things like urbanizations, megacities, and the megacities then causing traffic congestions. Sustainability in emissions has become a very important, not only for the automotive industry, but for the society as a whole. So you could say sustainability is one of the key driving factors. To comply with that or to support that, there are pressures from the governments, and they come with mandates like banning cars in the cities. Other countries will start to link into tariffs, the fuel economy mandates, and the CO2 targets. So there are several different ways of addressing the same thing. On top of that, you look at the culture behavior, especially in places like Europe, where people want to be environmentally friendly. And same thing in the parts of Asia Pacific. There's more consciousness of the environment. Reality is, from a business perspective, if you look at past few years, the capital markets are rewarding new mobility solutions, which includes electrification, connected and autonomous vehicle, a lot more better than any other technology business. So from a business standpoint, it makes sense as well. So sustainability, whether it is from a driver's perspective or a consumer's perspective, or from an OEM perspective, the manufacturer, that becomes a key factor behind driving the growth for electrification.
What do you think these traditional OEMs or even the automotive startups and, of course, their suppliers as well, what are they having to do to keep up with this growing demand?
Yeah, as you know, automotive industry is more than 100 years old and have been driving technology advances from a powertrain perspective and the internal combustion engines and the diesel, et cetera, primarily. So when it comes to electrification, even though it has been done in the past, they have to reinvent the way we design and build products, whether it's cars, trucks, or any other modes of transportation, railways, et cetera. So the new vehicle innovators and the OEM leaders have discovered that connecting internal disciplines on a unified collaborative platform, they pull ahead of the competition, drive down the cost, and design smarter, safer, and always connected vehicles. So that becomes a big factor looking at this in a systems engineering approach and setting up for electrified products and ecosystem. You also look at other aspects, smart manufacturing, the manufacturing for a EV, whether it's batteries or the full vehicles, is somewhat different, unique from the traditional manufacturing. Product verification and validation of these cars will be different as well. So the current OEMs or any of the startups have to now take into account all these factors in designing the products.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's more than just connected design software. It extends beyond vehicle design into manufacturing and other things that you mentioned.
Exactly, and it also touches on the very important thing, which is the ecosystem. If you're going on electrified powertrains, then you need a charging infrastructure around. Then you need to get your supply chain geared towards that. So any of the traditional suppliers making fuel tanks don't need to be making fuel tanks. So what should they be making? That ecosystem is not only just the supply base, but it's the entire service as well as the in-life for these vehicles that needs to change, that will change to support the electrification.
So then what do you think are some of the biggest challenges with EV development today or even in the near future?
So the challenges today, and they continue to be addressed, is the rethinking of design, what I just touched on. So that means you need a new vehicle architectures. So you don't need a traditional internal combustion engine, transmission, and the body structures to support that. You need a new vehicle architectures to support the batteries, to support the motors, inverters, how they need to be packaged, as an example. More important than that is you need an entire electrical electronics architecture as well as the software. These cars are becoming computers on the wheel. Software is in the center of all this, whether it's a battery management system or managing the entire vehicle as well as the holistic experience for the user. So software is a very important piece, and that needs to be architected to begin with and then needs to be implemented in the product development process. It's not that automotive industry is new to software, but the magnitude we are talking about is just continues to grow exponentially year over year. Then for EV, you have a few of the challenges we have had. Range anxiety for the customers. That is a big one which needs to be addressed while we have made progress. That continues to be addressed. Charging time. We talked about the charging infrastructure, which is coming up. But how long does it take is an important factor. And then overall customer experience or the driver experience, some of the attributes like noise, vibration, and harshness. EV, by nature of it, are quieter vehicles. So how do you get the power of that? A good driving experience, that becomes very important. Aerodynamics, that becomes very important. You don't need a huge grille openings because there's no heat management needed under the hood from that perspective. So you see the entire shape of the vehicles could be different, and the aerodynamics plays a big role. Those are some of the examples that the challenges the car manufacturers, the EV manufacturers need to face.
So you brought up aerodynamics, which is perfect. I think it's a really interesting new kind of design area for EVs and autonomous vehicles for that matter, but that's another story. So aerodynamics obviously have an impact on the vehicle's range and how far it can go on a single charge. So what are some new elements that vehicle OEMs and EV manufacturers need to consider when they design or develop the aerodynamic shape of a vehicle today?
Aerodynamics is just one of the attributes. Now, the OEMs need to rethink the entire design process. So the elements that the customers wanted on a conventional cars, which we have done so far, may no longer be needed for EVs. Some of the legacy knowledge will be applicable, but there will be other new thinking in design as well coming on the EVs. So, for example, electric powertrains are more flexible, and they open a ton of opportunity for the new vehicle architectures. So it saves a lot of space. So now you have to manage to get the range, how large the battery needs to be, how many motors you need to have in a vehicle. And what's more important is how these battery motors and all of the electronics, which is coming with the electric vehicles, how they need to be cooled for optimum performance of the vehicles. So those are some of the important factors need to be taken into account. Simulation would be the best way to go to optimize these things. For example, simulation engineers can test aerodynamic properties of multiple body designs quickly and efficiently. Simulation can help engineers evaluate various vehicle architectures and electrical architectures to optimize the powertrain, electronics, and a lot more, the entire battery management system I mentioned before. Now, the best way to overcome production obstacle is to use a multidiscipline collaborative approach. Having multiple teams working on a design at the same time obviously saves time and money and speeds up, but it also brings correct by construction. It brings other challenges when you have teams working simultaneously, especially globally. So this will be crucial for automakers targeting aggressive launch schedules for new EVs. How do you ramp up the production? It's good to get, as a startup, a EV designed and developed and ready for manufacturing, and you can build a certain number of vehicles per hour. But when you have to ramp up the production to a level of what's needed for the business, let's say a car coming off the assembly line every minute, that type of rate, that brings another set of challenges and special challenges to EVs. They all need to be addressed. One of the things is we talked about design. We talked about manufacturing. Putting the cloud-based systems to support all that, that is software companies offering software as a service, as an example, which Siemens offers the same things, that helps speed up all these things for the automakers.
Obviously, this also ties into range anxiety, which I think is the next big topic around EVs. And of course, this is the fear or the concern among automotive consumers that their electric vehicle won't have a sufficient range to kind of meet their needs for transportation. So luckily, as more EVs are being launched and they have greater and greater ranges, this is becoming less of an issue. But the other side of that is this time to charge. And right now, EVs still take, even the fast times are probably 15 minutes to charge, if you think about that. And a gas tank is a number of minutes to fill up. So these are often considered some of the major barriers to EV adoption. So I just want to ask you about your thoughts on where development is headed and what you see as some, you know, possible advancements in this area.
As you mentioned, range anxiety is something, while it has been addressed over the past few years, from a consumer perspective, it's still there. The battery challenge is there as well. But if you look at the development of new batteries, that is skyrocketing. Even from this morning, Toyota announced investing billions, I think it's over $10 billion, in the development of batteries, including development of solid-state batteries. So those are some of the examples. Then you do your research and you look at some engineers at Electrochemical Engine Center at Penn State who are looking at lithium-ion phosphate batteries with a range of 250 miles with the ability to charge in 10 minutes. That would be something if we could get that on the market. So in other words, the innovation continues to happen in the battery technologies, battery management systems, the electronics, which goes with it. So I think that's just like any other technology will continue to be addressed. Now, there are many aspects to take into consideration when you're developing a battery. For example, the thermal management. We touched on vibration or the noise, vibration, and harshness. What's really important is weight. You want to keep the weight of these batteries low so that you can get a higher range. And ultimately, from a business perspective, is to bring the cost down of these batteries. So all these factors need to continue to innovate with the new materials, new technologies, new chemistries. And I think that's the most important thing. Siemens works with many battery developers and provide really intelligent solutions for the battery makers to simulate and test the batteries. Again, with the simulations, as we said, they can watch the energy consumption of an EV at a vehicle level because the consumption depends on several other factors, including the driving habits, the weather conditions. A large family station wagon consumes much more electricity than a small EV. So in other words, the size of the vehicle itself, the type of commute and the city drive versus highway, the weather conditions, as you know, in the extreme cold, we get less range as an example. So we are excited to be part of this development because this is a paradigm shift for the major transformation our mobility industry, our automotive industry is going through in 100 plus years. And so we are always excited about any of these innovations and being part of providing solutions both at a full vehicle level as well as components and the systems level.
Yeah, so it sounds like this range anxiety is being addressed on two big fronts, and that is, you know, massive investment in battery research and development. You mentioned the Toyota example, and of course, we've already mentioned that the charging networks are being expanded practically every day. You get more and more charging stations, so more opportunities to recharge your vehicle. So of course, that's important as well. You touched on some of these elements, but I was hoping we could dive a little more into what affects how quickly a battery can actually recharge, because this is a technology issue, it's a materials issue, and some of these other factors. So could you talk about the specific factors that go into this?
There are several factors that affect the time it takes to charge an electric vehicle, and I'll touch on majority of them. Size of the battery, to begin with. The bigger your vehicle's battery capacity is, which is measured in kilowatt per hour, the longer it'll take to charge, so that you could get higher range. State of the battery, whether you're starting the battery as empty versus full. If you're charging from empty, it'll take longer to charge than if you're topping up from, let's say, 50%. It's no different for the regular rechargeable batteries you do at your home. Max charging rate of the vehicle. You can only charge a vehicle's battery at the maximum charge rate the vehicle can accept. For example, if your vehicle's max charge rate is 7 kilowatt, you won't charge any faster by using a 22 kilowatt charge point. Max charging rate off the charge point itself, that is a big factor as well. So the time it takes to charge will also be limited by the max charging rate of the charge point where you're charging from. For example, even if your vehicle can charge at 11 kilowatt, it will only charge at 7 kilowatt on a 7 kilowatt charge point. Very logical, but those are the factors a common person might not consider when it comes to installing the charge points or using the charge points. Environmental factors I already touched on. A cold ambient temperature can make it slightly longer to charge as well. Not only your range goes on, but the charging time as well affects that. Now, finally, the battery's thermal management system can act as a significant bottleneck on charging speed as it regulates temperatures of the battery. So even with a fast charging system, both onboard and externally, poor thermal management of the battery will dramatically slow down the charging rate of the vehicle. So these are some of the factors. So charging a EV battery can take as little as you mentioned, 15 to 30 minutes, depending on some of the factors we touched on, or more than 12 hours to charge a full electric car, which started from an empty state. So it all depends on the size of the battery, the speed of the charging point. I think EV customers have to change their behaviors during a long drive. That's one of the things. It's best to stop and do so-called top-off charging, but that requires that the customer stays for a little while at the charging station, longer than what it would take just to fill up a gasoline car, as you mentioned.
I think of it as a road trip mentality, growing up in the U.S., where you sort of enjoy the drive for what it is and kind of find all these interesting little places to stop off. And hopefully these roadside attractions can start installing charging points. I think it could be a good marketing opportunity for them.
That is true. And enjoy the ride is very important. I think in electric vehicles, all you need to do is do a little bit better planning and execution before you start the trip. You map out. And with most of the cars being connected or the consumers being connected, they can figure these things out and plan a lot better than you pick up a car and go and then looking for a charging station. Because all that infrastructure, as you said, is growing at a significant pace globally, not only in the U.S., obviously is a huge investments coming in the infrastructure setup, but all over the globe. So you can do a better job planning so that you continue to have fun of driving, whether it's an electric vehicle or what you've been doing for the past so many years.
You mentioned solid-state batteries. I don't know that a lot of people are familiar with that technology. So what's the latest on solid-state batteries, and how can they help kind of address these issues of range anxiety and charging time?
So the solid-state batteries are more stable and they're compact as compared to the traditional lithium-ion-based batteries. The solid electrolyte can be composed of any number of everyday materials like ceramics, glass, things of that nature. Now, the solid-state batteries have been used in small devices like the pacemakers, as well as in a lot of the wearable devices for years. Having fewer bits and pieces means fewer things can go wrong in the solid-state battery versus traditional. In addition to improved safety, size, and stability, solid-state batteries in EVs would also offer fast charging times, which will, of course, give you the more travel range and hence addressing the range anxiety. And even greater energy density is the key differentiator. The solid-state batteries can reach an 80% charge within 15 minutes and incur less strain after multiple charging cycles, which is a very important point. A lithium-ion battery will begin to degrade and lose power capacity after about 1,000 cycles of charging and discharging. On the other hand, a solid-state battery will maintain 90% of its capacity even after 5,000 cycles of charging going through it. So you see there's a huge opportunity when the solid-state batteries become commercial, viable, both from a cost perspective and technology perspective. So there's a lot of opportunity ahead of us.
Excellent. Yeah, so it sounds like they are more compact, more efficient, and even a little more durable, which is amazing. So our final kind of topic that we touched on is this idea of driver experience and the acoustics or the noise, vibration, and harshness. So obviously a big difference, as you mentioned before, between an EV and an internal combustion vehicle is this lack of engine noise in an EV. So one of the issues, though, is that can all the other little squeaks and noises that a car tends to make become perhaps a little more apparent in an EV. But so, you know, what are some of the challenges of interior design and all that stuff for an EV that you didn't really have before?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities coming, as well as a lot of new challenges coming in there. You know, under the hood, you don't have a large engine, a V8 or a V6, and the transmission you have to package and all that stuff. So from a space perspective, you could say packaging, it could become a lot more efficient. That can always translate into you still need to have a safe vehicle from a passive safety perspective, but it can give you a lot more space in the cockpit. So you have a lot more freedom of the seating arrangements, in-cabin experience, things of that nature. So that's the positive side. A lot of manufacturers are making batteries installed as part of the body structure itself. So it helps both ways in packaging it efficiently as well as delivering more space. So you can have a different seating configurations, more interior space, more storage space, etc. You touched on, there is no engine, so there's no noise coming from there. So things like road noise coming from tires are the airborne noise. Now that you have a new challenge, so the acoustics inside of the car, whether it's coming from a heating ventilation AC system in there or coming from aerodynamic outside, now you have to have a better acoustic setup in developing EV vehicles. So that has given birth to a lot of new materials and even taking the acoustic science within noise vibration to a new level to address for EVs. You've got interesting stuff going on the opposite end. Now EVs are too quiet. But to get a consumer experience, sometimes you have to add sound to the car, so the growl of the car. So now you're managing sound, you're generating sound or using noise cancellation technologies, curbing sound, what customer wants to hear. You also need some level of sound for pedestrian safety. Pedestrian in today's environment can hear something. So there's a lot of things going on. And that's what I mean by, even though we've been designing, developing cars, trucks for years, that EVs pose unique and challenges as well as opportunity. Then it comes to driving performance and feel. That will change as well, because now the traditional 0 to 60 metric for a car have a different meaning. You can get a lot more power, a lot more quickly based on the battery size. Large battery packs, which are placed low in the vehicles, also give you a very positive on vehicle handling. So now you can handle and get a better driving experience out of those. Same thing, if the batteries are packaged lower, below the center of gravity, that gives you a better from overall safety perspective as well. So the drive comfort, stiffer suspensions, tires, on the other hand, have to cope up with the extra weight, which might give stiffer rides. So you see the entire driver experience, consumer experience is changing as we develop these EVs, because at the end of the day, several manufacturers are going to have their EVs. It's going to become very important. What is the differentiator beyond cost of a feel from one versus the other, just like you have today? A luxury car experience versus a traditional car versus a work truck, et cetera, et cetera. So entire vehicle development needs to be taken into account so that you could still be the leader among all the equals offering EV electric vehicles.
All in all, it sounds like a really exciting time coming up in the automotive market with lots of new vehicles and really exciting offerings.
Yeah, I like to kind of, in closing, make that comment about a lot of electric vehicles coming up. You can look at any OEM today, and they have declared publicly almost like billions of dollars investments and the cycle plan, any large-scale OEM, 20 to 30 vehicles coming over the next few years. And then you've also touched on in your opening projections of by 2030, we have 50% of the production volume going towards electric vehicles. So you can see that mega shift happening just like you. I'm personally very excited, and we as a Siemens are very excited about supporting this transformation going on in the mobility industry.
Excellent. Well, Nan, thank you so much again for your time and offering your valuable insight to us. And I'd also like to thank the listeners for joining us, and we hope that you'll come back and listen to future editions of the Future Car Podcast. This episode is the first in our series on vehicle electrification. And then over the next three episodes in this series, we're going to be diving even more deeply into the technology, the design challenges, and all these different decisions and factors that are driving the next wave of vehicle electrification. So in the next episode, we're going to start with integrated electric and electronic systems. It should be really interesting. So thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.